Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Bishop Robert Brennan. Welcome, Bishop.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. What a great topic for us to talk about.
Yes. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we rejoice with the angels and the saints in the coming of Christ and of his birth. Help us to always remember that Christ is the joy of our hearts and the joy of this world. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen. In
the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Bishop, it is that time of year again of Christmas, and I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about the significance of Christmas maybe in your own life and what your thoughts are on this particular Christmas.
Well, Christmas is a time that really touches most of our hearts, whether it be through memories of Christmas's past or just feeling that sense of excitement and joy. Certainly, parents with children, small children, find a particular joy in Christmas. But there's something that draws us all deeper and helps us to see the power of God in our lives, that the power of God in our lives is not something that's just otherworldly. It really is here and now, that God is concerned with me right here, right now. And you know, this year especially, I think we need to find our deep and abiding joy not in tinsel or in food or presents under the tree, but to find our joy that the Lord God is accompanying me right here, right now.
Bishop, of course, we have just gone through the season of Advent, which is a preparation for Christmas. But, you know, what are some particular ways, especially, you know, with all of the chaos that might surround us in the holiday season, what are some ways to really come to appreciate our celebration of this great feast day?
I can tell you my own experience. People may have their own taste. I happen to enjoy music, and I really enjoy Christmas music. Let it speak to your hearts. Let it speak to your hearts. You know, one of the sad things that I discovered a few years ago, actually when I was a pastor, I went to the religious ed class, and you know, the last day was sort of a celebration before they went on their Christmas break, and we had music playing, and most of the children did not ever hear any of the Christmas carols before. They did not know the basic ones. Hmm. They did not hear "O Come, All Ye Faithful," or "Silent Night," and I thought to myself, "This is we're growing up in a culture right now that's so impoverished with the absence of God." And it's not a real absence of God. It's a created absence that we try to push him out, and we see that in biblical times too. But listen to some of those great hymns and think about some of the joy that they celebrate. Play it in your home. Sing along. And just let that joy speak to your heart. Another thing, again, I did this back in Advent. I do it all the time. Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Start reading, you know, in the late days of Advent and even in the Christmas octave. Read those early chapters of Matthew and of Luke and follow the stories. And maybe just a little bit at a time. And experience the angel speaking to Mary and the angel speaking to Joseph. Experience the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Experience their canticle of joy. Experience his birth. And then, you know, keep going. Experience the flight to Egypt and the presentation in the temple. Experience all those things. And again, let the Lord speak to you. It's not as easy to do that from the liturgical point of view, I have to be honest with you. You know, you get people talk about the octave of Christmas, and it's true. It's a time, 8 days of the joy of Christmas. It doesn't end on Christmas Day. regardless of what happens in the stores. But liturgically, you go right from Christmas Day to St. Stephen the Martyr to John the Evangelist and the story of the resurrection. So it's not the Gospels. Just read the Bible. Go to those first two couple of chapters in Matthew and in Luke.
You know, if you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Bishop Brennan. You know, Bishop, you have brought up music in the Advent when we were talking about the season of Advent and now in Christmas. And, you know, not to this may be somewhat controversial. So if you don't want to respond, Dave can always
bring
clip
it on.
It out.
Bring it on.
But you know, we are a liturgical people, and we do kind of. We no one wants to kind of besmirch the liturgical nature of our Catholic faith and everything
like that.
No,
not at all.
But, you know, our culture certainly doesn't really observe Advent. And as you said, it kind of ends Christmas rather abruptly. There is a sense, though, and I guess that's what really struck me about your experience with the PSR children, that they didn't know these great Christmas songs.
Yeah.
That, you know, songs are very catechetical, and they teach us, you know, the importance. And I guess, you know, even though maybe parish liturgy directors or music directors would not really appreciate it, it's not a bad idea, it sounds to me, to at least at home, but maybe even at church, give more access to some of these great Christmas hymns.
It is sad because the Christmas season is so short, and we move right on. And actually, I think we do in the church even have the tendency, both Christmas and Easter, to drop those hymns a week or two after after Christmas Day or after Easter Sunday. So on the particular Christmas hymns, I would say, yeah, okay, save them for Christmas. That's fine. Let's find lots of opportunities to practice them. Let's find lots of opportunities to look ahead to them, and listen to them in your own home. I'm already listening to my Christmas carols, and it's great when I'm in the car by myself because then I can sing without comment.
You are a great crooner.
That's right. but, you know, if you, just one thing. But there were also some great Advent hymns, and there's a little bit of a crossover, isn't there,
yeah.
You know? So there's a beauty in some of these Advent hymns. That's there, too. We only have about 3 or 4 weeks to celebrate Advent. So I'm all for the fullness, but I'm definitely not one of those people who says don't sing any Christmas
beforehand.
You know,
there's that one which I really love so much, Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which is sort of an Advent one, but some people say, well, you're only supposed to sing that after December 17th. Well, that only gives you 7 days or 6 days to sing
those
it, but
days
it's such
are,
a great,
those,
beautiful hymn.
It's a beautiful hymn, and it expresses that sense of longing. And it, too, is very biblical. All of those images, it's not that somebody sat in their room and thought of these things. Some of those images are very biblical images. And if you look at your breviary, I think it's in there all the way through the season. They're particularly, but not exclusively, related to those late days after December 17th and later, when we have the antiphons of the church, the entrance antiphon, the introit at Mass, the Alleluia verse, and the antiphon at the Canticle of Mary when we pray evening prayer, are based on those same images. But that's not exclusive. They're particularly appropriate then, but all throughout. You're right.
You know, as we talk about Christmas, we remember the mass at the end, which is the Mass.
Yes.
You know, and the importance of the Eucharist and the Mass in our celebration of Christmas.
And you know what? I'm glad you raised that, because this year it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. It certainly is. It is the highlight. It is exactly who we are as Catholic Christians. You know, we talk about the three comings of Christ, and one of those comings is he comes to us in time. He comes to us now. He comes to nourish us with his own body and blood. There are a couple of things that we're working on here in the diocese, trying to say, you know, not to limit people's access to Mass, but using things like reservations so that we can spread out, so that we actually can accommodate more people over a greater time. We also know that as the COVID numbers are rising at a concerning rate this month, it will not be safe for everybody to come out. And I'm begging people not to put themselves or others at risk. So there will be a prudent point in not coming to Mass. But two things. One, maybe find other opportunities, especially, again, those late days of Advent, from the 17th to the 24th. Those readings are all the Christmassy kind of readings. They're all the stories of the events leading to the birth of Christ. Come on one of those days when maybe Mass isn't so crowded, if you don't think you can sustain the crowd on Christmas Day. Please, we can't have everybody at the 4 o'clock Mass. Mm-hmm. And people talked about, well, maybe could we make it earlier? Sure, then everybody would come to the Mass earlier. So it's really the first Mass that's the problem. But you know what? Maybe our other practices, our travel practices, are changing. So maybe this could be an opportunity to try new traditions. Mm. Maybe come to an early Christmas Mass and then go home to a nice breakfast and opening of gifts. You know, see if we can mix it up a little bit and work with our parishes to be at different Masses. And then, of course, you know that we're going to be able not only to live stream the Mass at 10:30, but the good news is, just like at Easter, we'll be NBC4 is going to televise the Mass from the cathedral. And so please, that will be at noon. It'll be so that it's at the top of an hour. So that'll be, we'll televise it, tape it at 10:30, but televise it at noon. And there's another thing. If you can't come to Mass, can you make that part of your Christmas tradition? Can you say, okay, let's do our presents, have our breakfast, and then let's sit together as a family and participate in the Mass. It's not the same. It's not the same. But let's take advantage of what we have and then find other opportunities to go to Mass during the week before or the week after and encounter our Lord there. But if you can come to Mass, wonderful. If we, you know, just please, two things, please. Understand our limitations. Please work with us. We want to try to be able to accommodate people. I know you are working as a pastor in Sacred Heart to do things a little bit different to accommodate people. And two, please, I have to implore you in the strongest possible terms. Please, I beg people to take advantage, to use things like the face coverings. It's required in Ohio. It's not a matter of personal choice. It's required. But it's something I'm begging people who step inside the doors of the church, please do it out of consideration for your safety and health, but also, but more importantly, for the safety and health of those around you. To be able to do that, people feel safe in church. We've been safe in church, but that's thanks to all the people who are taking those precautions.
Excellent. Thank you. Bishop, as we conclude, could you give a Christmas blessing to our listeners?
Indeed. You know, St. Paul tells us, you know, that God is with us in all things. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And Emmanuel, the message of the name of the theme of Christmas, Emmanuel, God indeed is with us. May the Lord bless you this Christmas. May he fill your heart with the knowledge of Emmanuel, that you may walk with confidence and in hope, that you may trust in the Lord's strength and presence in all things, in the joyful moments and in the sorrowful. And may Almighty God bless you, your family, and all those you love in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And until next time, peace and all good.